Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. Worship is not a spectator sport. It is a totally unknown thought to think of sitting and watching people worship. Worship, by its very definition, requires the participation of all. In our worship, we are blessed by His presence. For those who don't get anything out of the worship, we would applaud their honesty. Since they are not the reason for the meeting, they should have been giving, not receiving. As we open our Bibles to Psalm 103, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, reminds us that true worship means God is receiving the words, attitudes, and actions of the people in attendance. God is the audience. We are the actors. All we do in worship is for Him.
I'm going to pray through Psalm 95 and 96. If you got your Bible, you want to follow along as we get started this morning. Psalm 95 and Psalm 96. Would you pray with me? Lord, we've come into your presence. We've sung for joy. Lord, we need to learn how to shout aloud in this church to the rock of our salvation. Help us. We want to come before you, and we are coming before you with thanksgiving, and we have extolled you in music and song. You are a great God, Lord, and you are the great King above all other little g gods. And in your hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to you, and the sea is yours. You made all of them, the dry land. And so, Lord, we've come to bow down in worship and to kneel before you because you are our God. And we are the people of your pasture, the flock under your care. And today, as we listen to your word, if we will hear your voice, and do not harden our hearts as those people, our predecessors, did at Meribah, as they did on that day in Massa in the desert, where our forefathers tested you, tried you, though that's the dumbest thing they could possibly do. For 40 years you were angry with that generation. You said, there are people whose hearts go astray. They've not known my ways. And so you declared an oath to them that they would not enter into the rest that you provide. But we have come to sing a new song to you, Lord. 10,000 Reasons this week was the number one song on the chart. And we've sang it to you with great heart and love. Because you are Lord of all the earth. And we praise your name and proclaim your salvation day to day. And declare your glory among the nations, your marvelous deeds to each person we meet. For you are great and you are most worthy of praise. And you are to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are just idols, stupid, dumb, ignorant, deaf, mute, stone and rock. But you made the heavens. And splendor and majesty are before you. Glory and strength are in your sanctuary. So we ascribe to you, Lord, family of nations, the glory and the strength that is due to your name. In a few minutes, we're going to bring our offerings. We're going to come into your courts and we're going to worship you with the splendor you deserve of your holiness. And we're trembling before you because we know you are powerful, God. Lord, we will say as we leave this place, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved, and He will judge the peoples with equity. So we will ask the heavens to rejoice with us, and we on earth will be glad. The sea resound as it crashes behind us, and all that is in us. We want to praise your name with joy, thanksgiving. For you, Lord, we sing too with great joy as you come to judge us in righteousness and in truth from your word. We pray that you would bless now in Jesus' name and all God's people say. Psalm 103, we are at the end of this book, this chapter, and it is a praise song. And if you would just read with me, please, these last few lines that we're talking about today. Out loud, please. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We sang that song, Bless the Lord, O my soul. sing like never before. Praise His holy name. My favorite worship song. Matt Redman caught it right when he got the core of this psalm that we've been talking about. You see, I keep telling you, and we keep reviewing the simple fact that worship is all there is to life. And everything else is the icing on the cake. In fact, when you look at the Bible, there's all sorts of words for it. Three primary ones. One means this, and we keep telling you, there is no relationship until you're willing to do this, to bow. If you won't surrender to His will, there's no worship. There's no direction, there's no love, there's no connection, there's no relationship. There's just not. It just doesn't work. Second, one of the words the Bible uses often, over and over and over, is to kiss forward. And the idea is, when you came into the presence of a great king, when you came into the presence of a great king, you would lean forward and He would extend His hand, the signet ring, the ring that denoted anything done in My name. Anything done in My name, sealed with this ring, is authentic, and that's it. And he would put His hand forward, and you would reach out, and you would kiss that ring. And that would be the way it would work. Now listen, worship is about acknowledging the power. Whether you kneel, whether you kiss the ring, or whether you choose to serve. When you and I serve Him, it's about worship. When you go and, like right now, the ladies are over there and they're working with the kids at King's Kids. That's worship. When you serve someone, that's worship. When you're serving Him somewhere else and doing something for Him, that's worship. When you're doing it for Him. But remember, the issue is always, who am I doing it for? Sometimes we do things so we can be noticed. Do I have an amen in the house? Uh-huh. Look at me. I'm so spiritual. Look at me. I'm me. Wrong answer. This doesn't work. Now the Bible adds two more kinds of words to this. One is the sacrifice. One's the offering. The whole idea of a gift. Now listen. We offer to God that which demonstrates how we value Him. People ask us, why does church always talk about money? Church doesn't always talk about money. It's just that you have a problem that you don't want to surrender any of yours. We don't always talk about money. It just happens to be the one area that you want to be lord over. Guy came to me one time several years ago, about 15 years ago. You guys always talk about money. I said, well, we take an offering every Sunday. We always mention that we're going to take the offering. Yes. Well, you always talk about money. I said, well, not really. In fact, you're talking about money more than we talk about money. Well, you're always talking about money. I said, well, why don't you just fall down on your knees right now and tell Jesus you're going to just tell Him that we always talk too much about money. Go ahead, just do that right now. You see, what I've found is people who give don't mind that we say we're going to take an offer. Because they love Him and they just give an offer. And people who, well, we give offerings to whomever we love. Some of us love Walmart. We give them offerings. In fact, have you noticed you can't go to Walmart and not give them an offering? In fact, we modeled our worship service kind of after that. But one of the last things we do, in fact, one of the very last things we do here is we have you give an offering on the just as we're getting ready to leave. Just like at Walmart. In fact, it's the same way at Sizzler. I've noticed it's the same thing at the big walk down to Mongolian Barbecue. It's the same thing. We were out. We had to rent a hotel room. And you know what? The last thing was they talk about money too much at hotels. Last thing they wanted was, well, the first thing they want, listen, it's not, this ain't anything like a hotel. On the way in, you would have had to give me your credit card and a valid ID. You see, we worship where we place our value. That's a biblical principle. And that's why things can become idols, false gods. And finally, the fifth word that they use a lot in the Bible is to confess or to profess a belief in God. And we do that here in the group. Now, you know people who say, well, I can worship God and I don't have to be in worship. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fallacy of that. That doesn't work. Now, you heard me when I was praying through Psalm 95. If you were following along in Psalm 96, you noticed, shout. We need to work on that shouting stuff. Okay, some of you are just too white. Okay, you got to be more biblical, more Christian, less white. Okay, just got to be good. It took me a long time to get over being so white. Okay, I was born amongst the frozen chosen, and our idea of an ecstatic utterance in church was amen. Well, you missed it. That was it. That was really getting into it. I mean, we were really emotional.
Like, that's not the way the scriptures describe worship. The scriptures describe we shout and we're to sing out and be aloud. And to get, in fact, in heaven, we'll talk about it in a minute, in heaven it gets pretty noisy. Now, why do we do all this? There's a very simple reason why we do all this. It's all about God. I always get a tickle out of people who come, you'll like this, Garrett, people come to church and say, I didn't get anything out of it. Congratulations, it's not for you. This isn't about you. I didn't come to worship you. Quite frankly, you aren't worthy of it. You came to worship him. Well, that ought have gotten an amen.
Amen.
See, we didn't come for a concert. We didn't come to hear a motivational speaker. We came to tell God how wonderful he is and to listen to his word to make sure we stay on track. Because I don't know about you, but I drift. And when I got people in my life who notice when I'm at worship and notice when I'm not, they call me up and they say, where were you? Where were you? You see, the most powerful thing that we can do is worship. If we're really worshiping, not attending worship. One of my friends, who knows better, posted this morning, can't wait to go to church. Now, y'all know what that means, right? I'm going to answer that one. And I said, oh, Associate Pastor Paul, you are the church. You are the church. You don't go to church. You go to worship. See, when we go to church, we're all about the concert. We're all about the motivational speaker. One of my friends, Jess, Pastor Jess, this morning, back in the Midwest, Jesus is rocking the church. No, Jesus is the rock of the church. I came to rock the building. We're worshiping Jesus. That's different. That's different. I want to lift up his name. Tommy Walker says the most powerful thing we can do for non-Christians is to worship. Worship shows people who God is. He says, I can't tell you how many times non-Christians have said, I don't know what this is. Something's going on inside. It's like God's knocking at their heart. He's breaking down the walls. In Psalm 103, we'll wrap this up. I want to encourage you to take out your Bible. Psalm 103. And we're just going to look at it again. Read with me, please. Verse 20. Read it out loud with me from the screen. Here we go. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. You see, when you're worshiping, you're not in this building anymore. You've stepped into the throne room of God. And there in the throne room of God sits the Father. And he's listening to his people. He's got screens. He's got all of these streaming worship services going on. And all these streaming services. And he's just watching right now. He's been watching us. Here we are right down here on this monitor. And he leans over and he says to his son, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Hey, catch that one. And the son's back there. Look over there. And they're just enjoying your praise. Worship. Some of us don't like the mystical, but worship is a trans-dimensional issue. You step out of your mundane, out of my mundane life. When we come together as God's people, we step into his presence. It is amazing. Now, I want you to notice in this passage, this isn't your kids he's talking about. Did you see there? Who is he talking about in this passage? Who are the people that he's talking about? Praise the Lord, you his angels. We're in the throne room of God. In the throne room of God, the angels are all around. In fact, there's a host, a bodyguard host. Don't ask me why God needs a bodyguard host. I don't know. But there's a host of bodyguards around him. And there's the cherubim. They do music. And the seraphim. They're the power people. And you have the archangels. And you have all of these angels around God. And there's innumerable numbers. And what are they supposed to do? Praise him. What's the purpose of life? To praise him. Why? Because he's the source of everything. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of joy. He's the giver of peace. He's the giver of happiness. He's the giver of pleasure. He's the giver of sex. He's the giver. He's the giver. And what a God. And so we need to realize that when we start to worship that honors God, calls us into his presence with the angels who praise him, calls us into his presence, and you and I literally step out of El Segundo. We step out of the United States. We step off of earth and into the presence of God. Now, the reason you need people there is because you need to experience what they experience there. The body in worship is all about the body in worship up there. All the angels are singing, they're going on. But that's not all it says here. I want you to also notice, would you read with me, please, verse 21. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Now you say, wait a minute, what are the heavenly hosts? We talked about the angels. Well, up there in the throne, we talked about all the angels. But there's a whole bunch of other people in heaven. Anybody remember that old song? Friends will be there I had loved long ago. There can be people who died in Christ. The Old Testament saints. Jehoiada, all of those Jehoiadas. You're going to see these guys, these ladies. They're up in heaven right now. Well, in Revelation 4, let me just read you out of the Message. You might want to follow along in your copy of the Bible. But Revelation 4:4-5 is really a glimpse into the throne room of God. And let me just show you what happens in heaven. Okay? This is kind of the transcript of the video. Okay, of just one short period of time in heaven. Just a few minutes. Here we go. John speaking. Then I looked and, oh, a door opened in heaven. The trumpet voice, the first sound in my vision, called out, ascend and enter, and I'll show you what happens next. It's kind of like having a backstage pass. This is a front stage pass. This is really cool. I was caught up at once in deep worship. And all the thrones set in heaven, and the one seated on the throne, suffused in gem hues of amber and flame, with a nimbus of emerald. 24 thrones surrounded the throne, and 24 elders seated, white-robed and gold-crowned. Now we know who the 24 elders are. 12 of them are the 12 Old Testament patriarchs, the sons of Israel, and 12 of them are the 12 disciples of Jesus. And we know who they are. 12 on one side, 12 on the other, surrounding them. Okay? Lightning flash, thunder crash, pulse from the throne, 7 fire blazing torches fronted the throne. These are the sevenfold Spirit of God. And before the throne, it was like a clear crystal sea right out here. Prowling around the throne were 4 animals. Prowling around. Get that? All eyes. Eyes to look ahead. Eyes to look behind. Are you getting the picture? We got to get some animals, Rod. We need some animals. Okay. Animal like a lion, the first one. The second one was like an ox. The third one with a human face. So we need a lion and an ox and a human. And the fourth one, oh, we have some humans, okay. And the fourth one was like an eagle in flight. So we need an eagle. Put that down. I'll fill out the requisition later. The 4 animals were winged. Each had 6 wings, and they were all eyes, seeing around and within. And they chanted day and night, never taking a break. Holy, holy, holy. Now we know why there's 3 holies, because there's Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy, thank you, is God our Master, Sovereign, Strong, the was, the is, and the is coming. And every time the animals gave glory and honor to the and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the age after age living one, the 24 elders would fall prostrate on before the one seated at the throne, and they worshiped the age after age living one. They threw their crowns at the foot of the throne, chanting, now remember, we've got holy, holy, holy is God our Master, Sovereign, Strong, that was, the is coming. And then we have now these 24 responding. What do you call that? When you have 2 different choruses responding back and forth, one does it, and then the other one does it. Antiphonal, right. Worthy, O Master, yes, our God. Take the glory, the honor, the power. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it. I want you to get the picture. We don't have time to go into chapter 5. You can do it on your own. I want you to get the picture. In heaven, you can't sit like a bump in a chair and say nothing and do nothing. It don't work that way. In heaven, you got to get involved. Have you noticed? If you go to a concert these days, even the performers get this. And when they're singing, they do this with a microphone. I want you to get involved. Get involved. Why? Where'd they get that from? Here. See, we are born. We are created. We are stamped with the image of God. And there's this participatory requirement. Worship isn't worship when you come and listen. Worship is when you get involved. And that's what's going on in heaven. And you see, it's gratitude at His heart. We're so grateful to God. Have you thought about He saved your sorry soul? You still walk around with yourself? Do you still walk around with yourself? I know me. I'm not a nice guy. By the way, I know you too. You're not nice guys and gals, okay? You can claim to be and you want to be, but... And there's those minutes. By the way, if you've got a relative with you today, we can prove you're not a nice person, okay? They got story. In fact, what's the first thing that happens when you bring home someone to mom and dad to show off your new potential, possible, perhaps, you're thinking about getting married partner? What's the first thing that mom or dad does? I got stories. I want to tell you about, and what do? They tell all the amazing stories, right? Here, your mom never does this. I know, but this is what happens to school. When you go home, your mom goes, I want to tell you about not the time that he won some special award as a chopper pot. I want to tell you about the time that he messed his pants in third grade while he was singing at the chorus. No, I didn't did that or not. I'm just making it up. Right? Now mom and dad know what they do? I'm telling you, we ain't good people. As much as I'd like to tell you I'm a great person, I can't lie. Well, that's okay. Before you start thinking about getting a new pastor, you ain't good people either. We deserve each other. And yet, God still loves us. Did you hear that? Did you hear Eddie yelling it out in the song? Forevermore. 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 He loves us. There are 10,000 reasons why I love him. And that's just the first year. And so when I'm worshiping, you're worshiping here together, it's because we are worshiping, we've stepped into the presence of all the hosts of heaven. And we're shouting out with God's people, all of the elders, all that have gone before. And we're just shouting out with them, oh, you are worthy. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. In fact, when we finish this message, we're going to sing. How can I keep from singing? How? It's not possible if you can keep from singing about the praises of God. Something's disconnected between you and God. But he goes on. He talks about the fact in verse 22. Wraps up this song. And this, by the way, these are just lyrics from a song. You know that. And he says this. Would you read it with me? Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Now, did you catch that? Where does this length of this praise go to? Not just on Sunday morning where you whip it out on the weekend and you have it, you just get together with God's people. But it's everywhere in his dominion. That's why yesterday in Australia, it was Sunday and they were worshiping. Today's Monday, they're back to work. But we're picking up the song. Do you realize for 48 hours on this planet, God's name is praised? 48 hours on this planet, God's name is praised? 48 hours, it just keeps going around the globe. For an entire, you know, and some churches worship on Saturday. They have too many people, they got to do Saturday too. So then you have 70 hours there where it just goes around the globe. Worship and praise to God. Now it says all his works. Did you catch that? All his works. Praise the Lord, all his works. Now, the last time I checked, we were talking about this on the way down here. Well, Talda was saying, I said, well, I need my water. Okay, and she went and brought it for me. Because I get a little dry. And she said, well, you know, you need water. And I said, well, I don't need water. I got my bottle with me. She said, no, you need water. No. She said, well, you're made of water. I said, no. I'm made of clay, dust. I'm made of dirt. She said, yeah, but most of you is water. But I was trying to point out, do you remember? At the very beginning, what he did? He reached down into the clay and he formed man from the dust of the earth. Breathed into it, the breath of life. A man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. You see, and when God made me, he made me the way I am. I always get a tickle. Deanne met me last August. It was pretty funny. I'm an acquired taste. Okay. Quite frankly, I really don't care if you like me or not, because I like me. But that's not important as much as the Ivory Beauty loves me. And that's not even half as important as the fact that he loves me. And he made me this way. I'm a little weird. I'm a little strange. I see things differently. But then, unless you really want to be a clone, you're a little weird too. And you're a little strange. As much as your parents tried to shape you into a model, it didn't work. Because God had already shaped you. And he designed you. Here, one of his works. And he's made you the way you are. Now, for example, let me just explain to you how unique you are. The favorite, the best kind of ice cream is, just shout it out, the best kind of ice cream is... What's wrong with you people? It's cherry. Now, where did you learn that the best kind of ice cream was the kind you like? Your parents might have tried to teach you, but you went, bleh, don't like that. When they tried to teach you the green one was good, you knew that was wrong. Right? Little girl last night on a comedy show says, you know, little kids, they eat boogers, but they don't eat broccoli. I was thinking, see, even little kids know green. They don't want to go green. Okay. Where do you get this stuff from? Where do you get this innate? That's part of your design. God made you that way. You have likes and dislikes. And your job, listen, the job of being your unique individual person is to what, according to the screen, first three words? Praise the Lord. Uniquely the way you do it. Now, when I came here, John led me. And John was it. He was all the cheese and half the macaroni. Okay? Well, actually, he was all the macaroni too. Okay? And then Phil came along. Right? And Phil came along and started helping. Now we had cheese and macaroni. Okay? And then Eddie came along and started playing. Okay? And then we had cheese and macaroni and a side dish. Okay? And now Garrett's here. Okay? And we got four. I mean, this is amazing. And when Garrett got here, we actually got that rhythm going. He can go on faster. Okay? Now listen, but I can't play the piano or the guitar or the conga or the drum. That's not how I worship. But I'm so glad they do that way. Aren't you? Oh, man, that's amazing. Now, if you're getting this idea that you're supposed to praise Him, you're supposed to praise Him with your soul. Right? We learn in discipleship, that's your mind and your will and your emotion and all of your body working together with your spirit. And I mean, it's just throwing it out there. You get into it. When you do that, a couple things are true. If you want to look into the future about heaven, one of the major things we do is worship. Now, one of the good things we do is we eat. We'll talk about that in another meeting when I go through a study and teach you about heaven. But one of the things we do is eat, and we eat prime rib. And it's, better than USDA choice. I mean, it's amazing stuff. But I don't have time for that. But one of the things we do is we worship. We just come into God's presence and say thank you. Now, we can't do this anymore, but there was an old oak table in a little town in Missouri where Melody's grandparents lived. And we would come to Melody's grandparents' house. And she'd say, come sit. Come sit. And she'd get out some snacks and some drinks. I remember the sour lemonade. And we'd drink and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd drink. And then she said, I think it's just about time for dinner. And we'd have dinner. And then we'd take the dishes into the kitchen. Can we clean them out? No, let's just sit. We'd sit and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd sit and we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd sit and we'd sit and we'd talk and talk and sit. And first she said, you know, I think it's cooler out on the porch. And she had chairs and a swing out there. And we'd go out there. It was dark, and the fireflies in Missouri, and the mosquitoes. We didn't notice mosquitoes too much because we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd sit and we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd sit and we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd sit. You see, that's basically what's happening here in heaven. Is you get to sit and talk. And you shout out to God and tell him how much you love him. And you just have this amazing time. That's why we come here. It's because you say, well, I can do that at home. No, you can't. You miss something at home. You cannot do this at home. Because when you get together with God's people, there's a dynamic that's different. You hog the conversation when you're at home with God. Oh, don't look at me like that. And some of you get into the slot machine Jesus version. Oh, Lord, if you just give me this. Oh, Lord, I need that. Oh, give me this. Oh, please help me with that. Give me. We went to Grandma's house. Grandma didn't have anything to give. Except the corn. Mm-hmm. Now listen. By the simple act of attendance, we demonstrate that there's someone more valuable in our lives than ourselves. We come here and we say, you are worthy. Isn't it an inconvenience to get here? I live 34 miles away, I know. I'd rather be at home sleeping in bed. But you see, when I come here, I'm thinking about you. Hebrews 10 talks about this. Would you read it with me, please? When it says, let us also think about how to motivate each other to show love and to do good works. Now listen, when I come here and I'm thinking, okay, now I'm thinking about the people who are going to be here. And I'm thinking about before the service and during the meet and greet. And afterwards, I'm going to be thinking about how can I encourage? How can I lift up one another? How can I encourage it? Some of you go through bad days. Anybody had any bad days ever? 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 Rest of you liars, okay. And somebody had them this week, right?
Yeah.
And in the process, you know what it's like. When you start having bad days, I knew exactly what happened. So does the writer of Hebrews. He says it this way. Look it with me. Read it with me. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. You know why you get in the habit of doing that? Because life's hard. Turn to your neighbor and say, life's hard. Get over it. No, say that to them too. Get over it. You see, when I put anything more important than God, I'm saying my problems are too big for God. I'm saying I'm more concerned about these things. And that thing becomes all-consuming. It becomes my focus, and I get off target. And I start, well, you know how it is when you're driving down the freeway and you take a look at something off the street, and you know what happens? You start to go there. Did you see that guy yesterday on the news? Drove right off the 91 freeway, right down into the serving place at McDonald's. Did you catch that? Woo-wee! Woo! 20 feet down! I guess he really desperately needed a Big Mac. I'm telling you, that's what happens, you know. And the Bible's very clear. He says, don't have any other God before me. Don't let stuff derail your worship. Now, we know what this stuff is because Jesus talks about it. Read with me from Matthew 13, 22. Read it with me. As for the seed that was spread along the thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. I always tell people, listen, if you got to work on the Lord's Day, you can be sure you can't be blessed. You just tell your boss, I have no other gods. Schedule my schedule. I've always done this. I came from the business world. I simply told the boss, you can't have me Sunday morning until 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You can have me after that. And I've worked Sunday evening. I've worked that night shift. I've worked shifts. I've worked around. I've added extra hours. But I refuse to let anybody else be in my way. Why? Because when I'm alone and I don't worship, I get my eyes off of what's going on and I get then on what's happening in people's lives. And I start to believe the false press of things around me. Asaph talks about this. Read with me, please. Psalm 73, 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. My steps nearly went astray. For I envied the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We live in Hollywood. And Hollywood is no friend of heaven. And you can get your eyes all screwed up in this culture that we live in. And this is Southern California. If you don't have money, you're nobody. Of course, we all know that the Bible treats wealthy people like the last people going to heaven. So you just, you know, got to think. But how would I remember that? Asaph tells me how I remember that. Later in this same psalm, he says this. Read it with me. When I tried to understand all this, it seemed hopeless. Until I entered God's sanctuary. Then I understood their destiny. You see, the point of worship is very simple. It's about seeing eternity. Remember what I said? We transfer ourselves into the throne of God in worship. We recalibrate our senses. Reconnect with God. And we're supposed to encourage one another to be in worship. Why? Hebrews 10:25 tells us, instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day approaching. He's talking about the end. Now listen, the end is coming quickly. Perhaps you saw last Monday, a week ago, Governor Jerry Brown signed the transgender bill. Okay? And so now I can decide, where, as a hormonal grade school or junior higher, I can decide whether I want to go in the girls' bathroom or the men's bathroom. I can decide whether or not I want to shower wherever I want to shower, because I think today I might be a girl. I can see that. I'm telling you, this would have been a tool in the toolbox when we were young. I'm telling you, we would have all just said, well, today I just feel like a girl because we got to go shower with a girl. This make any sense to anybody? By the way, this happens in my bathroom. Boy, I'm telling you. Woo-wee. Might be picking me up from local jail. We make the decision to sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth, the writer of Hebrews says. There isn't a sacrifice for sins anymore. The reason we desperately need to stay focused in worship is because we need to make sure that we stay straight. We stay on the right path. The writer of Hebrews wraps that thought up and he says there's only a scary expectation of judgment and of a burning fire that's going to devour God's opponents. You see, I come into his presence, and I don't want to follow. The reason is I don't want to follow the customs. I need to be recalibrated. I don't want to be like this world. And when I do that, I come and give my verbal expression of gratitude. I come and tell God how much I love him. How can I keep from singing? That's the next song we're going to talk about. How can you just let it out? Forget your race. And remember, you're part of the human race. Forget your upbringing. And remember to get the upspringing of the Spirit. And just let God know. Participate and proclaim and tell him, tell God of his fame and how much you love him. And ultimately, it's about bringing our sacrificial gifts. We bring offerings. In the Bible, they brought that which was value. Now, the great lie is today, Phil, the worship leaders will say, well, I'm going to bring my offering of praise. Well, if you brought that offering of praise and you didn't bring your offering of value with your praise, you weren't praising, you were a hypocrite. Okay? Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, there goes the plate. Hold on to the moment. I love you. I love you. What does James say? James says, faith without works is dead. That's just lying. We give what is valuable. In fact, you remember what David said? I will not offer to the Lord my burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I'm going to give something of sacrifice. You see, all of this just to say the simple truth that worshiping God honors and invokes every work. You are a work of his hands. I'm a work of his hands. Now, I want to wrap this up, and I just want to remind you that when you worship God, what is worship all about? Worship is where I celebrate what is most worthy in my life. Worship is where I put my treasure and my time and my talent. A long time ago, Melody and I decided we'd figure out where all our money went. This was back around 2002. And so we did an exhaustive study of where we spent our money, and we found out that we worshipped Walmart. In a little town we were in Iowa, we did all of our car repairs at Walmart. All of our eyeglasses at Walmart. All of our food at Walmart. All of our clothing at Walmart. And when I looked at what we'd given to Walmart and what we'd given to the church, Walmart beat the church by about $2,000. I said, I gotta fix this. Worship. Worship flows out of the cross, doesn't it? It ultimately comes down to, what did Jesus do for me? It all comes down to the fact that he saved a wretch like me. And over again, he rescues me. Time and time again. Anybody been rescued this week from God? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah? See, it's amazing. He just rescues and rescues and rescues. That's the same word as salvation, by the way. Rescues and rescues. Now, around 1973, I figured this out. Steve Femmel shared with me the fact that God loves me. And he told me that he loved me and that he cared for me, that God cared for me, and that what Jesus has done for me. And he asked me if I wanted to start a relationship with him, and I said, sure. How do you do that? And he led me to prayer that we use here, very similar to this one. And the prayer goes like this. I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. God, I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me. Here's the issue. And change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. I need a leader. You need a leader. Today, I don't know where you are. I never assume anyone's going to heaven because I thought I was for a long time and wasn't. But around here, those of us who have accepted Christ, we just pray this prayer again out loud each week because we just want to be reminded. And if you'd like to pray this prayer for the first time, let me encourage you to do so as we pray aloud. Just pray with me, would you please? Those of you who'd like to pray. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Yeah, it really is that simple. I remember the day I said I do. June 9th, 1979. I do. I did. And I always have after that. I still do. It's a choice. And I chose. And I still choose. I wish I could go into hours of the blessings that I have with my relationship with my wife. She's my best friend. We had these last 3 days. I said, what do you want to do? Well, you're in the mid-valley, Central Valley of California. What can you do when it's really hot? And I knew what she wanted to do. And I'd already planned it. But I just wanted to hear her say it. She said, well, I'd like to go to some thrift stores. And I said, oh, honey, okay. And I had already put them on my Kindle, the PDFs of the maps. And on Wednesday, we hit all of them in Tulare. And on Thursday, we hit all of them in Basilea. And on Friday, we hit all of them in Bakersfield. I'm telling you, we just had a great time together. That's what worship's all about. It's just enjoying him and having fun with him and telling him how much you love him. And that's what this is all about. You see, take a moment right now. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, why don't you just pull out a response card, check it off, and just tell me, committing your life or renewing your commitment to Christ. Just fill it out right now. The big idea this week is very simple. Only in corporate worship do we imitate heaven. Only when we're together. Only when we're together worshiping, we imitate heaven. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to pay the penalty of my sin. Thank you for making a way to live my life and be forgiven. Thank you for providing me a purpose for living in a home in heaven. Lord, I'm going to attend and praise and offer you my life for the rest of my life, throughout all eternity, as my expression of the gratitude that I have for all you've done for me and all you keep doing for me. Lord, I love you. We love you. Lord, we pray that you would be blessed as we worship your name. All God's people said.
And with that final prayer of gratitude, Dr. Smith concludes this series from Psalm 103. If you are ever in the Los Angeles area, the people of Pacific Baptist Church would love to invite you to worship with them. Simply open the link to the Pacific Baptist Church and find the current worship schedule there. Worship is casual dress and begins promptly at 11 a.m. each Sunday at Pacific Baptist Church, 859 Main Street, El Segundo, California. You are always welcome. Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you. If you'd like to explore how to enjoy a deeper life with God, one that God is pleased with, Dr. Smith has written a daily devotional book that will help you do just that. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. You can order a copy of In His Presence from Amazon by clicking the link on the side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now, until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.